Let me invite you over to the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 16. Matthew, chapter 2, verse 16. All right, Matthew, chapter 2, verse 16 reads this way. It says, "Then Herod, when he saw he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Once again, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people and, Lord, as your church. We ask that you bless us tonight. We thank you for your presence. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless, Lord, may you be honored and glorified and our lives blessed. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply called The Fulfillment of Prophecy. The Fulfillment of Prophecy. This is going to be a little bit of a different angle, at least for me anyway. I've never really preached on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ from this perspective. But the word prophecy means a prediction. But when it comes to the Word of God, it's a little bit more than a prediction. Sometimes, I'll tell you, for example, I remember going out door knocking with this one fellow when I was in seminary school. And it was his turn to do the talking. We would take turns, knocking doors and practicing what we learned. Anyway, this fellow was he wasn't rude, but he was not definitely respectful. He lets you know that he liked his drugs and he liked his alcohol, and he made little of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the crazy thing. He wasn't yelling at us. He wasn't nasty necessarily, but he was very defiant concerning spiritual things. And he knew, of course, that Jesus Christ was the Savior, but he made light of that. And anyway, the fellow that I was with really made an effort to try to help him see the truth, and which what I would have done as well. But I think he was a little bit aggravated after we were there. We probably spent about a good 15 or 20 minutes. I mean, he stayed there and listened to the truth of the gospel and basically was in defiance of that. And he's a couple years older than me. And anyway, the fellow, we were done with our conversation. Again, he wasn't rude. And we were walking to the next house. And he said, and the fellow I was with, never heard this before, but here's what he said. I'm going to make a prediction right here. This fella, by next year, he'll be dead. And the reason why he said that was because, first of all, he was defying God, right? Secondly, he was letting us know that he was into abusive drugs and alcohol. So that's not good for your health, right? And then thirdly, I'm just going to add this conjecture on my part. I think he got his feelings hurt. I think the fellow I was with kind of was a little bit offended that he was. And I could see it. I would have probably felt the same way. I don't think I would have made the prediction. Never heard that. And I said, oh, okay. And I thought, well, that's an easy prediction to make, because 1 year from now, we'll never see this guy, right? We'll never know if this fella was going to be dead, right? So that kind of a prediction can be made by logical reason. It could be made by things that were said. And it could also be said because we got our feelings hurt. Maybe we'd like to see something like that happen. I don't know. But that's not the kind of prediction that we talk about when we talk about the Word of God. When it comes to prophecy in the Bible, it's not a mere prediction from someone who thinks something's going to come to pass, but it is something that God has already seen taking place. Isn't that amazing when you stop to think about it? Now, listen, as we consider this, I want you to consider this. These prophecies were a blessing to Mary and Joseph, who were seeing and understanding some things that were coming to pass. But I want you to know, I think they're even more of a blessing to you and I, because we see the whole thing that's already taken place. They're seeing it as it unfolds. We're seeing as it has already happened, and we can go back and look at the details in the Word of God concerning the events that had taken place and look at the details concerning the prophecy that they saw, and we can even see a clearer picture. And what that ought to do is confirm for you and I that God knows what he's talking about. He is an all-knowing God. He knows everything that has happened, that will happen, or that's happening even at this very moment. And we thank the Lord for that. And again, I'm just going to tell you, I will take the fault if I'm wrong in this, but the only way that I can see this, and we'll see this here, when God predicts certain things, it's not that he willed them to come to pass, as he knew that people were going to do things, they were going to make decisions, they were going to make choices, and they were going to respond concerning, or there's going to be ramifications concerning their choices, and he knew those things were going to take place. But God did not predict some things that were bad, that he meant for them to happen. He just knew the ungodliness of the human nature. Now, here's something else that I don't understand. And that is that God allows it to take place. But he's sovereign in that. Now listen, sovereignty, there's a little word reign in the middle of that word. That God reigns sovereign. He's in control of everything, and yet he gives you and I the freedom to make choices. But I think God wants to build your faith and mine tonight to understand that even when we don't understand, listen, to understand that even when we don't understand, God knows every detail in your life and mine, and he will be honored and glorified. And these are things that are difficult and that are tough. And when we put our faith and trust that the Lord is in control, eternity will bear out God. We will praise his holy and righteous name. Things will make sense that won't make sense on this side of eternity, and we'll understand God to a greater degree. And so with that said, I want you just to consider two thoughts tonight, really. There are two sides to prophecy, and then there's staying on the correct side of prophecy that God wants us to be on, right? We want to be on the right side of prophecy. So what are these two sides of prophecy? Let's consider this. Back up with me to verse 13 here. Concerning these two sides of prophecy. And here's the right side of prophecy for Joseph, right? Verse 13 says, "And when they were departed, behold," this is speaking of the wise men, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word." So he's giving him some specific directions, right? "I want you to stay in Egypt until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." This is prophecy, right? "Saying, out of Egypt have I called my son." So here's another prophetic truth here that Joseph could look at and said, yep, this is exactly what God said. Could Joseph have known how this prophecy was going to be fulfilled? No, not until it was fulfilled. Could anybody have known how that prophecy? No, nobody could have known. They could have speculated. That's all we can do. Boy, I tell you what. We should study the book of Revelation, and I think that's important, and we should, and all these things have their place, all right? Prophecy is important. But I want to tell you something that somebody told me, Brother Rick Adams, and he was a teacher of the Word of God, I mean to preachers, and he said this, you know, there's nothing wrong with studying prophecy as long as that's not that all that it's about. In other words, that you forget about serving your Savior, that you get so wrapped up into prophecy. And let me tell you, there were some people that were all they wanted to know was, you know, who were the two witnesses? When was the rapture going to take place? But as far as concern or for the cause of Christ, there was very little of that. And so we don't want to go to seed, as they say, on certain topics of the Word of God. We want to have a full balance. All of them ought to cause us to consider how you and I, or how you, or how I will personally stand before my Savior. Will I hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? So Here he is, he's telling them exactly what's taking place. And as he's giving directions to Joseph, he's letting them know in the Word of God now, he's letting us know that this is a fulfillment of prophecy, that God said he was going to call his son out of Egypt. And so we praise the Lord for this understanding, this wisdom that you and I have, that and this is the Holy Spirit, and this is penned down in the Word of God for you and I to understand what was taking place. All right, so here is the right side of prophecy, and this revelation of God brings what to Mary and Joseph? Well, it brings trust, it brings comfort, it brings peace, and it'll bring worship as well when we say, oh, look, this is fulfillment of prophecy and many other good things to the honor and glory of God and to the edification of our relationship with the Lord. Now, when we consider this, now we want to look at the flip side of that, and this is the wrong side of prophecy, and look at verse 16 with me. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Listen to this. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Jeremiah prophesied that this was going to take place. Now, Herod is the culprit, and God saw what he was going to do before Herod ever came into being. Did he not? God saw and God sees, and that's the sovereignty of God. Now, that'll give me a headache if it doesn't you, to think about, you know, the freedom to make choose you this day whom you're going to serve. That's a choice, isn't it? We need to make a choice. God said that. I didn't say that. Some people have this idea, you know, and some having compassion, making a difference, and some caring and going out of their way to share the gospel and praying for people to be saved and things of that nature. That's not a waste of time. God's commanded us to, because it works, right? It changes things as opposed to leaving. Now, here's the thing about the Lord. He knows what we're going to do. But that doesn't mean that we should, well, this makes sense, right? Well, because God knows what we're going to do, let's just not do nothing, anything. Let's just not do anything. Well, what is that?
Even know that?
What? Why, you know, in other words, some people have this idea. There are some people that are destined for eternal death. I don't see that in the Word of God. I believe God is sovereign, and I believe in the election of God's people. And how did he elect them? Well, he elected them by the blood of the Lamb. He elected them by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When people pray for people to trust the Lord, that's what we're wanting to see take place, that they would trust the Lord. So when we consider this, we find that Herod was on the wrong side of prophecy, and he is in the Word of God, in Jeremiah, before his creation, before his existence. And so this side of prophecy reveals the wickedness of mankind that is without God. And God predicted that as well, or God knew that. Let's just use that word. He, in the foreknowledge of God, he knew what Herod was going to do. Now, what do we do to stay on the right side or on the correct side of prophecy? Well, that simply is left to following the Word of God. Remember what the Lord told Joseph? He says, I want you to stay in Egypt until I bring thee word, until I tell you it's time to go. So listen to what takes place. Ready? Staying on the right side, verse 19. No doubt he was away from home for many years. And I don't know if you've been home away from home for a while. You ever take a long trip and then you come back and, oh, it's so good to be at home, right? And so being away for a long time is probably even a greater challenge. But look at verse 19. But when Herod was dead, all right, let's go back. He's dead. No, that's not the word. God said, I'm going to tell you, Joseph, when it's time. But Herod's dead. Remember, he's the one that was going to take away the young child's life. And so, nope, that's not it. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Oh, we've done this before, haven't we? Right? Here's Joseph, and did the angel not appear before him and say, hey, listen, everything in a dream, right? That which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost, and it's all right. Okay, so God approaches Joseph in a very familiar way, in a very biblical way. God will not work and function outside of the Word of God. You've got some people that say, we were talking about, I think, in Sunday school class about apostles, you know, and some people, it was really a big movement in the 90s that there were these people that were calling themselves apostles, and they were attending churches, and they were speaking it behind pulpits, and they were saying, okay, set your Bibles aside, you won't need them. Take out a notebook and write down everything I'm telling you, because everything I'm telling you is now the Word, the new Word, the new revelation of the Word of God. Well, there's something in my Bible that says if you add or take anything away from what's already been given, you got a whole heap of trouble. Amen? Coming your way. And so we're not to do that. We're to look to the written Word that's already been given to us. So very quickly here, he says, verse 20, he says, saying, arise, right? He appears to him in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Verse 20, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Good news, right? This is the revelation. This is what God said you're to look for. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when talking about his second coming, said, oh, there's going to be many people that are going to profess to be Christ. Don't go after them. He says, when I come back, everybody's going to know it. Don't go after these false messiahs, right? And so here he is, and he says, it's time to go back now. Verse 21, and he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. Uh-oh, but wait a minute. But listen, so the Lord gave Joseph a revelation, go, and he goes. But now there's some new information that's going to come to him that the Lord didn't give to him through that dream. Watch this, ready? And he arose and took the young child. So he's not dreaming now, right? That'd be sleepwalking. So he's not sleepwalking. He's going back now, and he's taking the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But now listen, he gets this word. But when he heard that Archelaus, does that sound good to you? Archelaus. I'll never name any of my kids, please, no grandchildren, Archelaus. All right. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. So now there's maybe something coming back. Maybe, I don't know if this is the same dream or if it's another dream, but he had fear, and either he remembered in the first dream that God said, okay, I want you to go into Galilee, or maybe he gave him another dream here, and now he's being directed as he moves forward by faith. So listen, whenever we do something for the Lord, we should be convinced this is what God wants us to do. You should be convinced. This is what God... listen, do you think Joseph had any question that God wanted him back in Israel? No question. But now there's something that arose there in his thinking, in his understanding. Now he sees that Archelaus is ruling and reigning, and that's Herod's son. And so maybe Herod's son's going to pick up where Herod left off. So he decides he gets concerned, and God intervenes and reminds him and tells him, you're to go to Galilee, right? And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be, fulfilled. See, these are all things that have been written down before they ever happened. Isn't that amazing? And that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Not a Nazarite, a Nazarene, because of the area of where he was going to be raised. Now, this is amazing to me. This is really amazing to me. So, the governor is going to tax everybody. You remember the story? He's going to tax everybody. Do you think the Roman soldiers knew what county seat they were supposed to go to pay their taxes? And they were supposed to go to Bethlehem, remember? And here it is, ready? the Jews, the Pharisees say, nothing comes out, no prophet comes out of Galilee. But wait a minute, if they wanted to really research, they would have known that he was born in Bethlehem. And look how God even worked that all out, that they were going to be taxed so they would make that journey into Bethlehem. And I don't even know if they fully, I think they were following the Lord. I don't know that they knew that the Messiah was going to come out of Bethlehem. But God even works, as long as we are a willing participant seeking the will of God, God will bring us to the places we need to be. Isn't that good? And here's the crazy thing. God already knew exactly how it was all going to work out before it ever got worked out. And listen, he's not just telling us, he is not just sovereign. Listen, he is not just sovereign in the lives of Mary and Joseph. He is also sovereign in your life and mine. We need to know that. We need to be affirmed in that, because then we can truly experience and understand really how he holds us in his hands. Nothing comes into your life or my life that God doesn't know about. And listen, that ought to help us find peace when our world gets flipped upside down. So let me say something here, and we're going to close, all right? So as we consider this, we've seen several revelations here, or several fulfillments of prophecy, right, that God predicted. All right, so the Lord said, I'm going to give you power to be my witnesses. Did he not? I'm going to give you power. Why would we need... Do you need power to knock on a door? Not really. I mean, you need some physical strength there. But the power is for the world to look at us and see our light? Question mark. My light? I don't have a light. Without Jesus, I have no light. And the only light I have, if I have any, right, is going to come from the Lord. So here it is. Ready? This is a tough time of the year, I know, but I want you to think about this also. In the little things in life, is God not still in control? And if we can just ask God, as we see these things starting to come up, Lord, will you glorify yourself in my life? That we're putting ourselves in an open position to ask God to bless, to glorify himself in our lives. Will you make sure that your will and your way takes place? Whatever the circumstance, the little things that would get us upset, the little things that would cause us to lose our joy, so that the light of God can come forth. And is it possible for a believer to walk in darkness? If they're not led by the Spirit of God, they're going to be in darkness. Are they a saved child of God? Absolutely. If they're saved, right? They'll have eternal life. That light comes from the Lord. And God wants us to be excited about experiencing his light in our lives. It's not, listen, try to get this out of your thinking, because I struggle with it. It's not me doing it. It's God wanting to do it for me. And when I watch God do something, I have to stop and worship. Have you ever prayed for something, for God to do something for you, and he does it? Do you rob him of his glory and say, yeah, I did that? Or do you say, oh, God? That's worship. When you ask God to do something for you and he does it, that's worship. And he wants to bring us to a state of worship in our daily walk with him. That means he is actively engaged in our lives, as he was here in Mary and Joseph's. And if for anything else, that we might know this, listen, every day that we might know this, we are in his hands. We are in his hands. And one day, as many good men have said that serve the Lord, the best is truly yet to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder of your sovereignty and how you truly know everything that is going to take place. And we can take comfort in that. And Lord, we pray that you would draw us closer to you, Lord, that we might not be tossed about with every storm in life and every upheaval that takes place in society, but that we might be standing on the rock, Lord, on you. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer. We'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.